Hi there, welcome along to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast, and for us, the weekend starts early because we want to bring you the Friday and Saturday from Royal Ascot. I'm Bruce Millington and I'm delighted to be joined by Postcast debutant Rosie Margerson, a member of the Racing Post Bloodstock team, a very shrewd judge and also the daughter of a trainer with a runner in one of the races we're going to cover, so hopefully we can get the inside track. Also, this is Graham Rodway. Before we get stuck into the Friday and Saturday action, G-Rod, 14 races on Monday, on Tuesday and Wednesday, Royal Ascot, and 14 different winning trainers. The way jump racing is going, I'd say it's going to take about 14 years to get 14 different trainers to have Cheltenham winners. So this is quite refreshing, isn't it?
Oh, it's great. Yeah, it's great to see lots of different yards getting a look in, isn't it, Bruce? No doubt about it. We like a bit of variety. There's nothing more dull than when Willie Mullins wins every race at Cheltenham Festival, is there? Apart from, of course, if you're backing them all. But it's been a breath of fresh air. Let's hope that it continues as the week goes on.
Indeed. And Rosie, looking forward to the next cut. You're going on Friday, aren't you? And I was saying before the show, I'm no Eddie Izzard, but I am a bit jealous of the fact that you can wear nice frocks tomorrow. And the blokes have got to wear suits and top hats and all sorts of stuff. So it should be a good day, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it's probably the only time it ever works in our favour. We're normally shivering in winter, but it works out quite well in the summer at this time of year. No, I'm thoroughly looking forward to going tomorrow. We've got a filly running in the Sandringham, who I'm quite excited about. And it's nice for Dad. We've had four runners this week, which is from 16 horses in training. It's not bad.
I think that's very good indeed. Well, I hope it goes well tomorrow. In the meantime, let's see what the guys fancy. We'll start with the 2:30, the first race. It's the Albany Stakes, a Group 3 for two-year-olds over 6 furlongs. Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore, 11-4 favourite, Meditate. And it's 3-1 Morge, 8-1 Queen Ollie, 11-1 Fully Wet, 12 bar. These are guide prices. Shop around, as always, not just for the best prices, but for the best each ways, because a lot of bookmakers are offering extra places this week. So make sure you take full advantage of that. Rosie, you can go first. Who wins the Albany?
Well, <What? laughs> I love the idea that I could just, this is going to win. Hopefully.
That's what you're here for.
I know, right? I'd like to see Meditate win. It's most likely based on its breeding, and obviously Aidan O'Brien, Ryan Moore, they can do no wrong. Even if they do wrong, they're still doing right. So that'd be my pick. Sadly, it's the boring one, sorry.
Boring, boring, boring from Rosie Marks and G-Rod. Come on, hit it out the park.
Yeah, I know one at a price here, Bruce, called Believing, trained by George Bowie, who of course trained Cachet to win the Guineas. And quite a big price. First time out was second at Newmarket in a novice fillies race, and justified long odds on favouritism last time out at Wolverhampton. Probably didn't even need to run to the same level as when second at Newmarket first time out. But ran some very good sectionals that day, Bruce, Believing. And the all-weather crossover, does that still exist? Horses that act well on the all-weather tend to go well at on the straight track at Ascot. Let's hope that that's the case. So, yeah, Believing for me at a big price.
So if she leads into the final furlong, you'll be singing "Don't Stop Believing."
I was gonna sing. I'm a believer.
No, I've done you there, haven't I? Don't Stop Believing is the song there. Right, 3:05 at Ascot Commonwealth Cup, a highlight for many people. It's still a relatively young race, but it's made such an impression, hasn't it? It's the 6 furlong, 3-year-old sprint championship, and Perfect Power is favourite of 4-1 for Richard Fahey. Then it's 11-2 El Caballo. 13-2 A-Raz, 8 Twilight Jet, 9 Go Bears Go, 11 Strips Slipstream even, and 12 Bar. This looks tricky, doesn't it, G-Rod?
Maybe
not.
It's a good race. It's a great race every year, isn't it? It's one of the best editions that they've ever put in. I like E-Raz for Hannon and Jim Crowley. Should have won last time at Newbury, beaten by Tiber Flow, who's also in the race, but came from a long, long way back and was finishing off like an express train. Would have got there in a couple more strides. He ran in one of the races that might well end up being the key to this, the Commonwealth Cup trial at the course with Go Bears going. He was third behind him. Wings of War was fourth. Hierarchy was second in that race. I prefer the sort of proven sprint form this year over the ones that are dropping back from the Guineas, like Perfect Power. And I think that this track will really suit E-Raz because it suits horses who come from off the pace over 6 furlongs, stiff six. Yeah, I can see him coming home strongly.
E-Raz. Over to you, Rosie.
I'm going to go with a 25-1 Sacred Bridge. I watched his career when he was two-year-old. When she was a two-year-old, and I loved her. And I don't think she's done anything wrong in her three-year-old career so far. She's been fourth and first, and I think this is her trip. And at 25-1, I think she wasn't each way.
Nice. Okay, Gerlines and Colin Keane there. A 25-1 shot from Rosie Sacred Bridge. G-Rod likes A-Raz. Let's move on now to the 420. It's the Coronation Stakes Group 1 for fillies, of course. And we see the return of Inspiral, who beat Cachet last year but had to miss the guineas. And then the connections had to watch Cachet take out the guineas. Cachet went close to doing the double over in France. The betting is 2 Inspiral, 11-2 Cachet, 9 Discoveries, 9 Mangosteen and 10 Bar. Is this all about Inspiral, do you think, Rosie? I mean, John and Thady Gosden, first 2 days, one of the few trainers not to train a winner. They'll be desperate to get on the board. Can they get it done here?
I'd say they wouldn't be bringing her here if she wasn't fully ready for it and likely to win. You know, they'd hold her off. They held her off for the guineas, which shows they're more than willing to look after her if she's not 110%. So I'd say she'll bring her A game and she'll probably do. I hope she does something stunning. It'd be nice to see.
G-Rod, how do you view this race?
Yeah, she looks the outstanding filly in the race. Of course, when she won last year's filly mile, she beat Cachet, didn't she? Quite cosily. I really do think that Cachet is quite good, but this is a very difficult race to make all the running in. All of the races on the round course at Ascot, it's very hard to make all, and Cachet will definitely try and do that. That's the way she runs. I think the last horse to make all in the Coronation Stakes was Attraction. So that was 2004, a long, long time ago. It's just not very easy to do, and I think the race will set up nicely for Inspiral. The Cheveley Park owners, and better known as Jumps owners now, aren't they? Aplutan and Alaho and... But once upon a time, this was their race. The likes of Russian Rhythm, you won it. Red Bloom was third, I think, a few years back. Nanina. Yeah, I reckon that they've targeted this, actually, ahead of the new market, 1,000 guineas. And the extra time probably will have done her a favour. So I think she's the right favourite and she's hard to beat.
2 votes for Inspiral. Next up, we've got the 5 o'clock. It's the Sandringham Stakes. A mile straight for fillies, huge field, 29 runners, including Rosie's dad's horse. Tell us all about that. Golden Spice, what chance? 33-1, I'm seeing, Rosie.
She's worth an each way at 110%. She's a lovely filly. And she put in a hell of a performance. Jim Crowley rode her at Leicester, and she kind of put the race to bed. It was quite a stunning display, and he came back in and said to Dad he really, really liked her. And thought we should go for the Sandringham, and so we said, why not? You know, the owner, he's a really great owner. He has one with us every year. And he, you know, she's a really nice filly, and we're glad we waited, because as a two-year-old, she didn't do much special. We knew she'd be better as a three-year-old. And she's now won 4 times, and, you know, the last 2 starts on turf, which were our first, she's won, so.
And the drawing 7, no problem?
It is what it is, isn't it? There's no perfect place to be in a field that size. As long as she jumps sharp, which she always does normally, and gets a good spot, you've just got to sit and hope and pray.
Where will you be watching?
I'll be there, luckily.
I know you'll be there, but exactly where? What do you do? You watch through your fingers, yeah. Or do you just give it the big one and go nuts?
I stand there probably looking really... I've got a terrible resting face when I'm watching races, as poor Racing Post Live lot saw the other day. I just go completely blank. And then they come into the final furlong and I can't help but start screaming. And then if she gets anywhere near the front, I'll probably go into a noise.
Well, I hope you have loads to scream about.
Hopefully.
Brilliant. Well, good luck there. So we can't really ask Rosie for a balanced view, because she's obviously got vested interest there. G-Rod, what's your balanced view on this? It's a ridiculously tough race, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an incredibly difficult race, Bruce. Yeah, I couldn't really have a strong fancy in the race. I thought Hayley Turner's runner, the one that she rides, was quite interesting for Charlie Fellows. It's called Fresh Hope. Yeah, won last time out at Doncaster. Had finished behind Rogue Millennium, who, of course, went on to win the Lingfield Oaks Trial. And Charlie Fellows, of course, has won this twice in the last 3 years with Hayley Turner riding Thanks B in 2019 and Anassis in 2020. So it seems like this will have been the target for Fresh Hope probably all season. Hayley Turner up again. I think she rides the Ascot Straight Course pretty much better than anyone. And, yeah, very difficult race, but Fresh Hope for me would be the one.
10-1, Fresh Hope. Okay, Three other races on Friday. Any fancies, G-Rod?
The rest of the races?
You don't need all of them. Just if there's anything that you think listeners should know.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, the 340 is also called Ever Present, that I quite like. It's trained by Jessica Harrington. Hasn't run all season, but Jessica Harrington did win the Coronation Stakes first time out a couple of seasons ago with horse called Alpine Star first time out. And Ever Present lines up in the Duke of Edinburgh at a 340, coming in first time out of 279 days off, won a 23 runner handicap last time out at Leopardstown and finished the race a lot faster than anything else. The sectionals were much quicker than anything else running the race, and I thought that was eye-catching. That's in the 340.
16-1.
My list. Yeah, and that's it.
Okay, thank you. That's Rosie, it. Anything yeah. else from you for Friday, or should we crack on with Saturday?
Crack on with Saturday.
Right, give us 10 seconds.
Stay ahead of the field with Racing Post Members Club, featuring unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, exclusive online content, replays from all UK and Irish racecourses, and more. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22 to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. Head to racingpost.com/postcast to find out more.
Hi there, it's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Looking ahead to Saturday, Royal Ascot, Bruce Millington, Rosie Margeson, and G-Rod, Graham Rodway. The final day of the meeting. Been an amazing week. Just one slight question mark over the weather in terms of the going. I mean, it's obviously been lightning fast all week. There is the possibility of a bit of rain, but that has receded since the start of the week. So we're still expecting probably good to firm, but we're not absolutely 100%. We'll get straight on with the racing, and we'll start with the 2:30 on Saturday, which is the Chesham Stakes, a listed race for two-year-olds over 7 furlongs. And G-Rod, you tell us who'll win while I desperately scrabble around for some prices.
it's an interesting race because Alfred Munnings is the big talking horse out of Aidan O'Brien's. He's been one of their shortest price favourites all week. He's very impressive when he won first time out at Leopardstown. However, Kyprios, who runs in the Gold Cup, did run the last 3 furlongs quicker than him, having run over 1 mile and 6 furlongs. And Alfred Munnings was only running over 7 furlongs. So make of that what you will. Of course, he is only 2 and Kyprios is a lot older than him. So it's hard to compare. But I just thought that was a slight negative for him. Legend of Xanadu is the one that I like at a good price. Last time out, won the race at Epsom, the Woodcote, easily coming down the middle. Maybe he was flattered, maybe he wasn't, because they all started racing down the middle after that race, and they all came up the far side against him. But when he won at Redcar, he won by 5.5 lengths. Again, he was very fast over the last 3 furlongs, ran a very quick time for quite a low grade. And I think that he is going forward quite quickly. He's a bit more exposed than a lot of these. He's had a lot more runs, but that's not necessarily a bad thing, coming in with a lot more experience. So I think he'd definitely be placed each way against the favourite Legend of Xanadu.
Okay, best price is 8 to 11. Alfred Munnings, real hot pot this week. 11, Faisal Road, 14, Alizir, 14, G-Rod's Fancy, Legend of Xanadu, and 20, Bar. Over to you, Rosie.
Crypto Force. He went through the Goths London sale the day before Royal Ascot began for £900,000. So I think he's got a really good chance. I think Michael O'Callaghan's a brilliant trainer. And I think he's a really nice horse. And that's a hell of a price tag to have on a horse. But I like him.
Excellent. Righty-ho, let's move on to the Jersey Stakes. Group 3 over 7 furlongs again at 3:05. Wide open. It's been so competitive. This what a week of racing we've had. It's been absolutely superb. Difficult to try and find winners, but so competitive and absolutely marvellous. 5-1 favourite here is Noble Truth for Charlie Appleby and William Buick. And then it's 8-1 Alphalia. It's 8-1 Monadar. 8 Star Girls. Ale Mal. God, gee, this is the unpronounceable stakes, this. 10 Sambaru. 12 Dubawi Legend. I can't even bother with 16-1 Roger Gianni. Let's just get some tips. Rosie. First, you've got to be able to pick a winner, and then you've got to be able to pronounce it.
An easy pronounce. I'm going to go for Noble Truth because it's easy to pronounce. There you go.
No, you're not. That's not allowed. We have far higher standards here. Come on, who do you fancy and why?
I would like Toy My Son. Is that how we're saying that?
Yeah, I reckon so.
Yeah. He's my Twilight Son. Nice horse, good trainer. Won on his last start quite nicely. Yeah.
Toy my son. G-Rod, I think you might win most convincing case competition.
Yeah.
Yeah, Manada, Saeed Bin Saror, runs this one. And last time out, this horse gave weight and a beating to Audience. And it just absolutely floated over the ground over the last few furlongs on the all-weather. He just good horses. You can just tell the way they move. And he moves like a really good horse. He's got a long stride and he just floats over the ground. Like Desert Crown floats, you know, just floats over the ground, Manada. I think that he'll be well suited by this straight track at Ascot, the all-weather crossover, given that he's won his last two races on the all-weather. Yeah, good bet, Manada in the 305.
Righty-ho, let's move on to the Hardwick Stakes over a mile and a half. The Group 2 at 3:40 on Saturday. And Hurricane Lane is a strong favourite at 8-11. It's 11-2 Broom, 9 Solid Stone, 9 Third Realm and 10 Bar. Probably not the strongest Hardwick of all time. Does that make it a good thing here, the favourite Hurricane Lane?
Yeah, I think he should win, Bruce. I mean,
sorry, G-Rod, I didn't actually set anyone up there. I just asked a question and just went quiet. So thank you for picking up. It's been a long week.
Yeah, no, I think that Hurricane Lane will be hard to beat. William Bute the other day, when asked what was his best chance a week, he said Hurricane Lane, and he said that he's really come to himself now. And yeah, if that's true, and he's anywhere near his best, he's just in a different class to, you know, the likes of Broom and Third Realm and Mosterdaf and all the others. He's a proper Group One horse, and this is a Group Two race. And of course, he doesn't carry a penalty through his Group One, so it's really difficult to see him being beaten, provided that he is somewhere near his best.
We got two votes for the favourite, Rosie.
I would go Solid Stone for a very boring each way. I really like him.
It's exotic.
It is. Okay, I'll take that. He's won a Group Two before. And at Chester, of all places, so you can handle any track. And Ascot's such a nice galloping track, you'd hope he'd like it. And he's been second at Ascot before. So
let's just hope all eight go to post. We had the sickener on Wednesday, didn't we? We had the eight run of Ribblesdale, and all of a sudden something came out at the very last minute, and anyone who backed the third didn't get paid out each way. So that was a bit of a sickener. So hopefully they'll run. Okay. What have we got next? We've got the 4:20. It's the Platinum Jubilee Stakes. Another Group One over 6 furlongs. And Chris Waller and James McDonald, who teamed up so spectacularly on Tuesday, are back with Home Affairs, who's the 2-1 favourite. And then it's 9-1. Got 27 runners here. Wow, 27 runners. 9-1 second favourite, Creative Force, 10 Campanelli, 14 Sacred and 16 Bar. Rosie, is this all about Home Affairs, or are you going to look beyond the Aussie Fav?
I'm looking beyond, and I'm going for a case of you. I think his form, especially lately, has been incredible. And what he did in Maidan was very, very impressive. And I think if he brings his A game, he'd be up there.
18-1, a case of you. And as we say, shop around, because some bookmakers are offering 3 places on this. Boo. And others are going as many as 6. So do shop around. It's so important that. A case for you is currently 18-1. Graham Rodway, who do you like here?
Yeah, it's very difficult to know what to make of Home Affairs, isn't it?
The form figures are 1-9, 1-9.
Yes, he's going to finish first this time. He's obviously going to be hard to beat, given what happened the other day with the other Chris Waller sprinter, who I keep forgetting his name. But he was obviously very good. I don't know how Chris Waller rates him between the other two. Someone did tell me yesterday that they think that the one that won the other day is better. But that wouldn't be a great surprise, given how far he won by. I can't back horses at 2-1 like Home Affairs, because I just don't know enough about the Australian form. You know, fair enough, if you're an Australian expert and you know your stuff, then, you know, you might want to go in at 2s, but I just...
But I'd, you do know that our sprinters are pretty rubbish this year. Well, not rubbish, but there's no stars amongst them, is there?
No, it doesn't look that way, does it? But maybe we haven't seen one yet, because I do think that Minzau has got a bit of potential, Bruce.
Is that the tip?
He had a long time off, didn't he? a couple of years ago, came back last season, ran twice at Ascot, finished second behind Tis Marvellous over five furlongs, that's not his distance, and then third behind Creative Force last on his last run at the track, and definitely wasn't his best that day, because he made a mess at the start, which is a habit that he has got into, dwelling at the start and giving up ground. He didn't do that at York last time out, but I don't think he was anywhere near fit, because they didn't give him a hard time once the race had gone out in front. He was very easy to back in the market, and I think this would have been the aim. And they're slapping cheek pieces on. Owen Burrows is 0-12 with cheek pieces on first time, which is obviously not a positive, but just ever since Minzel ran at York and he just ran a nice trial, I thought I've had him in mind for this race, no matter what turns up, and I'm just going to stick with him at good price.
Gee, I want to know what you think of this. I'm really fascinated by Alcohol Free coming back down in Trip. And at 25-1, I cannot let her go on back. What do you think?
Yeah, she's very, very interesting, isn't it? Last year's Coronation Stakes winner, of course, coming back to run over six furlongs. She's
that would be a rare double, that, wouldn't it?
I don't think it's ever been done, has it? I certainly don't think I've ever heard of it being done. But, yeah, she's a good horse. I just wonder if she wants a bit of softer ground.
Yeah, that could be the neg, couldn't it? Okay, 5 o'clock. It gets no easier. I tell you, this is some card this Saturday. It's so difficult from a punting perspective. It really is one for small stakes and hopefully big wins. We've got the Wokingham, 31 runners. Fresh is favourite at 8-1 for James Fanshawe and the jockey of the week so far, Danny Tudhope. Then it's 9-1, Quarantine Dreams, 12 Black Rod, 12 Silver Samurai, 16 Jumbie and First Folio, 18 Bar. Is this your sort of race, G-Rod? Do you like getting stuck into the Wokingham?
I love having a bet in it, but I don't think that I back the winner too many times. But it's that sort of race, isn't it? There are 30 in it. So yeah, I'll probably have a little go on Tab Deed. He likes this track. He's a course and distance winner. He's very, very consistent horse. And Archie Watson, of course, has already been among the winners this
week.
They're
running well, Watson's horses, aren't they?
Yeah, they're going really well. And Holly Doyle, of course, on board. She rode one of them. So she's excellent on this course as well, a straight course. Last time out was third behind Razzle over an adequate five furlongs at Haydock. This would be a different test. This is a stiff six at Ascot, and that might suit him a bit better. So Tab Deed for me.
Who for you, Rosie?
I think First Folio, trained by James Ferguson. He clearly likes flat galloping tracks. One at York and Yarmouth. He beat Black Rod at York in June last year. So I think he's in with it a good chance.
What about the favourite Fresh? What's the word? James Fanshawe, obviously, you know, great with sprinters. Can you have him on your mind, Rosie?
Baited breath sprinters are always great to go for. They're always solid horses who are consistent in mind and body. So always a great shout.
That's what I always say. Okay, let's get the Saturday nap. If you're only having one bet at Royal Ascot on Saturday, who's it going to be? Graham Rodway.
This will not be beaten.
What Rosie said there, consistent in what? Something in mind.
Mind and body, just like you, G-Rod.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, am I consistent in mind and body? Maybe I am. Anyway, it's Manada in the 305 at Ascot.
That's just Manada, isn't it? We sound like the Muppets here. Manada.
Manada.
Right, okay. And who's your Saturday nap, Rosie?
I don't know. Okay. There's too many to choose from.
That's a suitable way to end the show, I think.
There we go.
Rosie, have you enjoyed your podcast debut?
It's been great fun.
Good. Come back and do it again soon, G-Rod. Thank you very much for your contribution as well. Thanks to producer Ben. Thank you very much for listening. That was it for Royal Ascot. We're back next Monday to review all the action. And we're back on Friday week to look ahead to another great weekend of racing. So keep it with all the brilliant podcasts. Thanks very much for listening. Bet responsibly. Enjoy the sunshine.